Do election laws in Wisconsin need to be changed? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 12th. We have two guests from different viewpoints who will discuss and debate the politics and policy of some proposed election law changes, and we will welcome your viewpoints, too, and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, the State Senate debated to the wee hours of the morning over a number of election law changes. Turns out that Democrats used a procedural move to stop the debate, and that's only though a temporary victory. Republicans are scheduled to reconvene later this morning to give this package of bills a final vote. Some of the bills being considered, one that would limit in-person absentee voting, or sometimes called early voting. It would not allow that to occur on the weekends, for example. Another that would expand the window that lobbyists may contribute to candidates. Another would establish distance requirements for observers at polling places. Another would alter requirements pertaining to a voter's proof of residence. Another that wasn't in the docket yesterday, but it's in the hopper, that would end same-day voter registration. Then yesterday, Governor Walker said he would call a special session to pass another voter ID bill to have in place before the next election if the state Supreme Court does not uphold the current law that is before it. So is all this necessary, and why or why not? That's what we will be discussing this hour. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us Michelle Litchens, a former Republican state representative from Oshkosh, a small business owner, and she is a regular on our Friday Week in Review programs, and she's going to argue in favor of these changes. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Joy.
And also with us is John Nichols, who is an associate editor at the Capital Times. He is the Washington correspondent for The Nation, and he is co-author of many books. The latest is Dollarocracy: How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America. And John, you also wrote a piece that was in the Cap Times that said we ought to be expanding voter opportunities, not restricting them. So why do you say that all of this is not necessary?
Well, I'm careful about saying any review of election law is unnecessary. I think it's a great idea to probably have an annual review or semi-annual review of election laws. I find it very discomforting to do it in an election year at the very end of a legislative session. I think that's a route that's fraught with peril. And I also think that any honest review of election laws would renew the Wisconsin tradition, which was to want to see very high turnout elections. Historically, this state has tended to lead the country or been very close to it. And also the deep Wisconsin tradition on erring on the side of making it easy for people to vote. I cast my first ballot without an ID in rural Wisconsin, and I think that that was, you know, I was actually told at the time, you know, this is how we do it. We are not a state that is like, well, frankly, they used to say we're not like Illinois, and I don't want to beat up on our Illinois friends, but they would say we're not like Illinois. We don't have all sorts of infrastructure in place to make it hard to vote. Our policy is to make it easy to vote. And I think a lot of these changes are going very much in the wrong direction.
All right. Michelle, why do we need these changes?
Well, I think we have to start out by saying that there is nothing more important than individuals having the opportunity to vote, right? You know, what an incredible blessing we have in this country that if you're just born here, once you turn 18, you have an opportunity to choose who your leaders are going to be. That's a right that not everyone has around the world, which means that we have the responsibility to protect the integrity of the system. And I also think that we need to make sure that voters have every opportunity to learn information about the candidates as much as they can, so we have as much disclosure about who's contributing towards those elections and who's participating in the process as possible. So I think that's another important thing we need to look at.
Yeah. So how did these various changes, and I know there's so many, we can't go into great depth on each one, but How, Michelle, would these changes that are going to be voted on today in the state Senate, how would they protect the integrity of our elections?
Well, not necessarily the issues that they're talking about today. I mean, I know that there are quite a few issues that are being taken up right now. But if you wanted to start talking about the requirement of the photo ID, I mean, I think that's imperative to protecting the integrity of the system. I mean, when you really look at what other countries do around the world where they might die, you know, they risk their lives walking hours and miles to the polls to dip their finger in some ink in Iraq, and 89% of the voters find a way to turn out on Election Day because they find it so important, and it is so, I mean, it just means so much for them to have that opportunity to choose their leaders in that country. That's saying that we need to do something to make sure we guarantee that the people who are turning out to vote in our state are the people who they say they are when they turn out to vote. Mm-hmm. And that's requiring them to show proof of who they are.
John, what about that?
Well, I am inclined to answer your actual question, which was about the things that are in play today. And I'll take a quick shot at that and then go into, obviously, some of the discussion about voter ID. What you asked was about the measures that are kind of being rushed through today at this very final last minute in the worst kind of debate, worst kind of session. And in, you know, literally the cusp of filings, the process of beginning to file and run for state office this fall, I think it's a terrible idea to rewrite the election laws at a point like this. It creates confusion. To try and rush through a new voter ID law at some special session weeks, months down the line, It's just the wrong way to go if you're trying to encourage high-level turnout. But if we step back and look at the practicals of these laws, first off, I think that there's this effort to restrict early voting. And I find that, you know, really unsettling because there's been an attempt to pit urban areas against rural areas. Now, I'm from rural Wisconsin, born and raised. And, you know, I do not think that farmers and small business owners and other people in rural Wisconsin have all that easy a time voting. And my sense is that restricting the early voting, making it hard to vote on weekends, in the evening, at times when small business owners and farmers and moms and dads who have busy days might find it easier to vote, is going exactly the wrong direction. I also think creating situations where people can kind of hover over election folks and look at the IDs of or whatever information people are providing to vote, things like that, I think create the worst kind of circumstance at our polling places. And again, our voting should be encouraging, welcoming. We should be going for the highest turnout in the country, not just in presidential elections, but in state and local elections. And then to bring it around to the voter ID question. You know, there's an interesting thing on voter ID. I think that critics of the voter or supporters of the voter ID, folks like Michelle, are very sincere. I think they have heard a lot of stuff in mostly the media and much of it anecdotal, arguing that this is necessary. But when you look at the research that has emerged from the Brennan Center and also the writing of key players in this, like Judge Richard Posner, who actually wrote one of the first voter ID rulings upholding a voter ID law, in his recent book, he said, you know, we made that decision with far too little information about the possible consequences of laws like this. And there's really an emerging understanding, especially in the judiciary, that voter ID laws are not friendly to or supportive of high turnout elections. And frankly, there's an awfully lot of evidence that they're not necessary.
Yeah. Let me, because we're coming up on a break, I want to get Michelle to talk a little bit about the specific bill that would limit in-person absentee voting, the early voting, it would restrict the hours and would not allow it on weekends. The argument here is that we have the staff in Madison or in Milwaukee or in bigger cities to have have the staff to keep the polls open on weekends, whereas that isn't the case in some rural communities. So,
right, and yes, it's very true. I live in a township where we have a part-time clerk. I mean, there really is absolutely no way that we could have a part-time clerk keep the town office open, you know, over on weeknights and on weekends. And so we need to bring some standards and uniformity to how we vote in the state of Wisconsin. But I think it is so important to look. Very, very few countries in the world offer early voting. or voting at any other time other than Election Day. And I think it is so important that we in the government encourage people to educate themselves as much as they can on our candidates, what they stand for, what they believe in, what they want to do. And then we give them an opportunity to vote, and we standardize that. If you look at what happened in Florida, I mean, really, the numbers are amazing. I think it was 127,000 people voted by mail. Absentee ballot voted by mail, and about 180, 185, I might be a little off on that, 185,000 people actually turned out to vote in that election. So if you want to vote, you have every opportunity to request an absentee ballot and vote by mail. But otherwise, I think we have an obligation and a responsibility to say that voting is so important that these are the hours that you can turn out. We have 13 hours where the polls are open on Election Day. You can turn out and vote and, support your candidate that day.
But why shouldn't a larger urban area that has a lot more voters give more opportunities on weekends to let them cast their ballots so there aren't long lines on Election Day? I mean, how does that hurt anybody in rural Wisconsin?
Well, I think, but if you're going to allow someone to do that in a different city, shouldn't you give everyone that opportunity? You know, then, and how do you actually make that happen in areas where it's not even possible? I think we need standards in Wisconsin.
John?
It's actually super easy to do. And any state that wanted to have high turnout elections, as opposed to the direction Wisconsin is trending, which is lower turnout elections, especially in off years and rural, or especially in off years and nonpartisan elections. What you do is you have state government that says, yeah, it is true. Some of our urban areas have more resources and do this, but we should absolutely make it possible for our rural areas to do so. Use the resources of the state. I mean, good heavens, if we think democracy, as I do, is precious, as Michelle so correctly refers to it as a blessing, then let us really, give the blessings of liberty to everybody and go out there and provide the funding for that rural clerk. Let's have the state pay the overtime. Let's make sure that any farmer who's in the field at, 6 in the morning and doesn't get out till 8:30 at night can come and vote at, maybe at 9 o'clock at night, if that's the case, or on a weekend. We should not divide our urban and rural voters. We shouldn't play these games. We should respect the fact that everybody wants and should be able to vote.
Quick react to that, Michelle.
Everyone who does want to vote has every opportunity to vote, not only on Election Day, but they have opportunities to vote through absentee balloting. And I think that requires a responsibility and that, they have to set some time aside to actually do that in the hours that are allowed to do that in.
John, so
it's not working. Look, the bottom line is we have, literally hundreds of thousands, millions of people who don't participate in elections. So our election systems are not doing the job. They're not easy enough and encouraging enough. And in other countries around the world, they make the election a holiday. They hold it on weekends. We don't do that. If we want to explore that, I'm certainly willing to explore changes in early voting. But until we do that, I want it to be as easy as possible for people to vote.
Let's take a quick break. We are talking with John Nichols, who is the associate editor of the Capital Times, and Michelle Litchens, a former Republican state representative from Oshkosh, about today's big question. And it's a broad, big question, but the one-liner is, do we need election law changes in Wisconsin, like what is being considered in the state legislature, including a bill that would limit in-person absentee voting? That's one that will be voted on today. Governor Walker also says he'll call a special session to pass another voter ID bill to have in place before the next election, should the state Supreme Court not uphold the current voter ID law that's before it. So is it necessary? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today with Michelle Litchens and John Nichols about whether or not we need to change election laws in Wisconsin. And you will see online at WPR.org/joy a long list of proposed election law changes, and you can vote online as to whether you think any of them are necessary, whether you think all of them are necessary, or whether you think none of them are necessary. We have lots of callers, so let's go to Lynette in Milwaukee. Hello, Lynette.
Hi. My comment is that, you know, traditionally you hear from Republicans in the state that they want more local control and less government regulation. And then, like the gentleman said, this is a problem not in need of regulation. So why would they want to put so much over-regulation on voting when statistically there is no, you know, real problem? And then why would they want to exert so much control locally when for many, many other things, important things, they think it's totally okay for governments and states and municipalities to have local control? And so then it makes you wonder if the goal is really to neutralize and target Milwaukee's voters to limit their voting. That's what it comes, you know, kind of starts to feel like, because why would you go against all the things generally you say you're, you know, against?
Do Republicans want to discourage voting in Milwaukee in particular, Michelle?
I don't believe so at all. And I think the more we talk about expanding voting hours, I think if we were first to have a photo ID requirement and also guarantee that people register to vote before Election Day so we can prove that they are who they say they are and they're not a felon and, you know, that long list, I think then maybe we could talk about expanding the days that you have an opportunity to vote. But, again, I think this is really about protecting the integrity of the system and it's setting standards and uniformity across the entire state. So it's saying, you know, someone up in Rhinelander or, you know, up in a small town in northern Wisconsin has the same amount of opportunities to vote as someone in the city of Milwaukee. And I think that's exactly what we're addressing here.
Mm-hmm. John?
Well, I think that our Wisconsin election system is great. It's not perfect, but I'm really, really a product of this state. I mean, I remember walking through deep snow in rural Wisconsin to go and vote in Union Grove and having Eva Sheen greet me at the polling place. She didn't ask me for an ID. And I remember the deep sincerity of these folks. And I've seen it in Milwaukee and Racine and Rhinelander, who really want to make sure that we have a clean, honest election and really are welcoming. They want this process to work. I think that when we start to layer on all of these changes in a state that historically has high turnout and in a state that I think really has kind of led the nation, again, historically, on erring on the side of voting, erring on the side of getting people into that process, we begin to say to folks, you know, look, you better be prepared. You have responsibilities to prove this and to do that, jump through this hoop. And I just don't see that in any sense as the Wisconsin way. I also, this is the thing that I think is important, this pitting of urban against rural. The fact of the matter is that there are folks in rural Wisconsin who could use some early voting opportunities as well. There are folks all over the state who, frankly, need easier access to voting. And I'll remind folks that in Maine, when Paula Page, the governor up there, tried to start restricting the ease of voting, in Maine, where they allow voters to rise up on something like this, they petitioned it on the ballot and by more roughly a 60% margin, rejected restrictions and limits on voting. I'd be glad to put early voting on the ballot in Wisconsin statewide and ask the people of Wisconsin whether they want the right to early vote. I think they'd say yes by an even larger margin.
You know, I remember voting in college in the late 70s, and a couple of times I had to go to the polls with a utility bill with my new address on it because I had moved and I didn't have the opportunity to get a license with a new address on it in time. And Michelle, the voter ID bill would not allow that anymore, right?
You know, unfortunately, I can't speak specifically to that, about some of those changes. I just haven't read about the exact changes that they're requiring. I mean, I do know about the previous voter ID bill and the voter ID bill that they're talking about right now, and I'm not familiar with that one-page bill that they have any changes to the requirements to prove, you know, what your current address is and who you are. The mm-hmm. voter ID bill the Assembly passed last year. I wish the Senate would have picked it up at the same time. The changes are just very minuscule, but I think that they would guarantee that it would be approved by the courts because it is very, very similar to what Indiana had. It's mm-hmm. saying that if you can't afford an ID or if you don't have any proof of who you are or for religious reasons you don't want to have your picture taken, that you can still cast a ballot, and it's just going to be marked as a challenge ballot. It's going to be counted just like every other ballot. So So I think that that would stand up to judicial scrutiny, you know, when it comes to the fact that there are individuals out there, especially some of our elderly individuals that don't have access to a birth certificate to get themselves a photo ID.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get into every, you know, some minute detail here, but I just, you know, the fact that I need, you know, now.
Well, I think Michelle did a good job of running over some of the aspects of it. What I will say is that, yes, there have been efforts to restrict that use of the utility bill or other evidence of the person vouching for you. The Wisconsin tradition has been to allow that, and I think it's a wonderful thing to allow that. I would also suggest one other quick thing, and that is that the Indiana law that was referenced there, the judge who wrote the decision on that, Richard Posner, has said it was decided without sufficient information. In fact, he's actually provoked, although he hasn't said, you know, overturn it per se, but he's provoked a huge dialogue in the judiciary about whether that decision was correctly made. So I don't know that a law that followed it would stand scrutiny at this point.
Yeah, and with just 30 seconds, John, you think that should there be a special session and a new voter ID bill is passed, that there'll likely be
be blocked. Yeah.
We'll check news and then we'll be back continuing discussing our big question, whether or not we need election law changes in Wisconsin and why or why not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Talking today to John Nichols and Michelle Litchens. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7:36 on this Wednesday, March the 12th. In today's big question, we have two guests with us from different perspectives talking about whether or not we should be changing election law in Wisconsin. For example, Republican state senators are poised to pass a bill later this morning that would restrict early voting in Wisconsin. As Sean Johnson reports, the move follows a lengthy debate on the plan last night that was at times heated and personal.
Republican Senate sponsor Glenn Grothman of West Bend told colleagues that he wanted to nip early voting in the bud before it spreads to more communities.
Before we have a permanent situation in which we have two classes of citizens in this state, people who live in an area in which they have polls open 60 or 70 hours a week, and people living in areas in which they have early voting 4 or 5 hours a week, I think it's time to make it uniform as soon as we can.
Grothman's bill would limit early in-person absentee voting at a city clerk's office to 45 hours a week. Weekend voting ahead of an election would be banned. The change would be felt most abruptly in Madison and Milwaukee, where early voting and weekend voting has been offered for years. Middleton Democratic Senator John Erpenbach suggested to Republicans that it was no coincidence that those cities vote for Democrats.
There are certain people in this chamber who don't want people to vote using absentee ballots because they're afraid they might not be voting for them.
Milwaukee Democratic Senator Tim Carpenter aimed his criticism at New Berlin Republican Senator Mary Lozick, who sponsored many other election-related bills on yesterday's calendar.
I know the senator from the 28th hates Milwaukee. She hates the poll workers. She hates that blacks and Latinos are coming out.
That was Lozick at the end, loudly objecting. Republicans later admonished Carpenter, though he never backed down from his remarks. Democrats used a procedural move to block a final vote on the bill last night, but their victory was only temporary. Republicans are scheduled to reconvene later this morning to give the bill a final vote. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll where we ask you what changes to election law you think are necessary in Wisconsin. Do we need to implement voter ID? Do we need to limit in-person absentee voting? Should we end same-day voter registration? Should we expand the window that lobbyists may contribute to candidates? Should we establish distance requirements for observers at polling places? Should we alter requirements pertaining to voters' proof of residence? Or not. That's what you'll see online. Let me welcome back our guests. We have two guests who are debating all of these issues with us this morning. Michelle Litchens is a former Republican state representative from Oshkosh and a small business owner. She's a regular on our Friday Week in Review programs. And John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times. He is also Washington correspondent for The Nation and co-author of Dollarocracy, How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America. Michelle, let me get you to react to the charge that Senator Tim Carpenter made in that piece where he said that New Berlin Republican Senator Mary Lozich hates Milwaukee and poll workers and blacks and Latinos.
Yeah, it is always disappointing when debate gets down to personal issues and when you're not talking about the topics at hand. And I really think that he owes her an apology for that, because that is obviously not the case and not true. Again, everyone who's naturally born here in this country, or, you know, has the opportunity to become a citizen here once they're over 18 years old, they have an opportunity to choose the leaders of their country, of their state, of their city. I mean, that is just such an incredible blessing, and I think that's something that we need to make sure we protect the integrity of that system. So I think we need to talk about requiring a photo ID, but then we also have to guarantee that, or not guarantee, but make sure that we encourage our voters to educate themselves as much as they can about the candidates that are on the ballot so that they can make those choices, and then we give them that opportunity to vote. Minorities are in no way discouraged to vote on Election Day or, you know, request an absentee ballot, just like white voters all over the state have the same opportunities. So, I just don't buy that argument that we're somehow encouraging, or we're saying that minorities, for some reason, can't turn out and vote on Election Day. It's too much of a challenge, but everybody else can. So, I mean, I just don't understand that argument.
Yeah. Let me try and explain it. I think Glenn Grothman summed it up. You know, he started out by saying we don't want to have two classes of citizens, those who have a lot of early voting opportunities and those who don't. I agree with Glenn Grothman. I don't think we should. I think we should make early voting available to everyone in this state. I think that the state should not be looking at voting as an opportunity, but as something that we celebrate, that we welcome. And so the state of Wisconsin should be doing everything in its power to make it easier to vote. And, you know, look, I think that when we talk about minorities, people of color who live in our urban areas, they tend to live in cities that are more populous. There are simply more people that are going to come to vote. And so the easy suburban and sometimes rural model of simply driving up to the polling place, running in, casting a ballot is less of a reality. There you end up with very, very long lines in our bigger cities, big challenges there. And so it's totally logical that you would open things up, make it possible for people to vote at other times so that a person doesn't have to take 3-4 hours off, 5-6 hours off from work or from taking care of their kids, whatever, so that they can go vote. Again, this is it. I'm always uncomfortable when we reduce these things to questions of race or location. And I think the best way to deal with that is to upscale, not downscale. Don't put new restrictions on. Don't limit access to the polls. Expand it. Open it up. Make sure that access exists everywhere in the state. And I will tell you that, you know, rather than cast aspersions on anybody in Wisconsin, I will say there's simply no question. Paul Weyrich, the great conservative leader, said some years ago that he didn't want everybody to vote. He wanted his people to vote. And there has clearly been politicians and groups that have sought to game the system over the years to advantage their side. Now, I want to emphasize, Richard Daley and the Chicago Machine, Democrats, they sought to game the thing. So it's not just one party. But I will say that it is, I do think it spurs passions. I think it does get people very angry when they think that election law is being written with the purpose of making it easier for some people to vote, harder for others.
Senator Grothman is also proposing a bill. It will not be voted on today, but proposing the bill that would end same-day voter registration, that you couldn't go to the polls and register before voting. John, what's your reaction to that?
Terrible idea. Horrible idea. Elections, and in fact, I think Michelle has summed this up well, it's saying that, you know, we want people to come informed, we want people to be, you know, excited about voting. As we come toward an election, the intensity of the process rises. People, do get engaged. Sometimes late in the game, they want to come vote. I think we should maintain the Wisconsin tradition of making it easy. And I will remind folks that when they tried to get rid of same-day registration in Maine, the citizens rose up and overwhelmingly restored it.
Michelle, do we need to get rid of same-day voter registration?
I would get rid of same-day voter registration, not to encourage people or discourage people to vote, but just to guarantee, once again, the integrity of the system, to guarantee that you are who you say you are, so that when you register, we have an opportunity, the clerks have an opportunity to mail something to you so that they know that you are at the address you say you are, and that they can check and see that you're not a felon, so that we know who, you know, that the individuals who are casting the ballots, who are choosing our leaders in this country, really are who they say they are, and we are, again, protecting the integrity of the system.
We have lots of callers. I've got to bring Bruce in Partyville into the conversation. Hi, Bruce.
Hello there. I'm traveling. I may lose you on a cell phone, so I'll try to be quick. I'm a county supervisor. I actually, last April, won by a single vote, went through a recount. And so I do understand the value of absolutely every single vote. But I have a question. It's a philosophical one. I'm not sure even how I stand. And that is, if we essentially remove every single barrier, don't we wind up denigrating what I consider not only to be a right to vote, but a solemn responsibility and an honor? It's not something we should take lightly or cheaply. It is something that should be considered and thought about and contemplated before we go to the poll. And I'm not sure I'm against same-day voting. I think that's something we ought to consider. But with respect to the long lines and things, wouldn't it simply make sense to allow a highly populated ward to increase the number of polling places, to give people more opportunities on voting day?
Thank you, Bruce, and congratulations on your one vote victory. John, what about if we remove all barriers? Maybe we cheapen the honor of voting.
Well, I think it's an honor to vote. I think it's a pleasure. I love voting. I love my ballot. You know, and so I like the way Bruce phrased that. He says, I'm not sure exactly where I'm at. Very open to a dialogue about these things. I think that's why you don't rush these things through on the last day of a legislative session and then say, oh, we'll have a special session to do it. It's exactly the wrong way to go. But I will suggest this, that I don't think we cheapen the process at all by making sure that when people get engaged, whenever they do, even if it's the day of the election, and also when people who sometimes have kids and job responsibilities and all sorts of challenges, that they can find easy ways to vote. I don't think that cheapens it. I think it actually makes sure that it works. And I one of the things is I value greatly that local level of engagement. I think one of the things that Bruce suggested was, well, why don't we expand the number of polling places? And what he's opened up is a very interesting prospect. If indeed we're not going to have early voting, can the state of Wisconsin provide the resources and the commitment to make sure that no one has to wait more than, let's set a time, 15 minutes to vote? And that the resources will be there. If Milwaukee County needs, you know, millions more, Racine perhaps needs millions more, that the state will provide it. If that was coming in combination with a restriction on early voting, I think you would probably find, you know, quite a bit of interest among folks.
Michelle, what do you think of that idea?
Maybe that's something that we need to pursue. I think what Bruce said was spot on. I think that the privilege of voting is something we have to take very seriously, and it comes with responsibilities. You know, when we look back at this country, when we were first founded, they had one election day. There were no cars to get you to the polls. You know, people walked for miles to get into town to vote on that one election day because it was so important and they took it so seriously. So, and I think by continuing to expand, you know, why don't you just allow people to vote for a month? You know, I do think that that lessens the importance of the election in being a participant and, you know, taking that responsibility to research the candidates and to be engaged. So, many municipalities, especially in my area, have increased after the presidential election a few times ago when they were waiting in lines for hours, but they did increase the number of Election Day workers so that they could open up a few more polling places so that we could get rid of some of the lines. So, and maybe that is something the state needs to look at, for municipalities that might not be able to afford that on Election Day so that people aren't standing in lines. But I do think it's so important to preserve that integrity.
Can I just throw one thing in on that one Election Day at the start of the American experiment? The lines weren't very long because women couldn't vote and people of color couldn't vote and non-propertied white men couldn't vote. So at the founding of the American experiment, depending on the research you look at, someplace in the range of 6 to 8% of the overall mass of Americans were allowed to vote. I think that if we seek mass turnout elections where we, celebrate all the progress that we've made over 200 years to open up the process and bring people in, we should recognize that we also have to adjust to make sure that everybody who has an opportunity to vote can do so in an easy and functional way.
Yeah, let's take one more call. Cody in Oshkosh.
Thank you. Yes, it's nice to hear Michelle Long about the days when only white male landowners could vote. And she likes to keep speaking about integrity of vote, yet they keep wanting money to be more a part of who gets elected. They gerrymander every district they can to the max, which is just unacceptable and completely doesn't bring integrity to the vote. And it's not fair to compare a highly densely populated area to the town of Algoma, where you walk right in at any moment of the day and walk right up to a thing and vote.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle?
Well, if you remember the town of Algoma a few years ago, people stood in line for 6 hours. So that's not always the case in the town of Algoma. In most of the world today, very, very, very few countries offer early voting of any sort because, again, the election day is so important. And these are countries, look at France. You can't even vote by a paper ballot in France. And it's not just the rich white landowners that are given an opportunity to vote there. So I think it's really talking about preserving the integrity of the day and setting some sort of standards across the entire state.
Well, we actually have to wrap up as we are going to do a sound off, as we always do during our big question, and let listeners just have their say after they've heard from both of you. Let me ask you, John first and Michelle last. Where do you see this going in Wisconsin? We're going to have the state Senate today, likely passing these laws, the restrictions on early voting, on the in-person absentee voting. What do you see? Where do you see this going?
Sure. Well, let me start off by saying I so respect Michelle for the sincerity of her views and the way that she's put these ideas out. I think this is how we should have this discourse. Mm-hmm. I think that it is likely that many of these changes that we're talking about will be passed through the state Senate today. Many of them will then end up right away in court because, unfortunately, that's the way that things have happened. It is possible that Governor Walker might veto a couple of things. I hope he does. That would be a terrific move by the governor. I do think there's a very real possibility the Supreme Court may strike down elements of our voter ID law, and that may see a special session. My gut instinct is that that'll take us right back into the courts. And I think we're sort of on a very bad kind of Groundhog's Day cycle at this point, where we keep kind of doing the same thing again and again. And there's a lot of theater, frankly, and a lot of argument. But at the end of the day, what I really truly wish we would do is sit down in a big, serious way and talk about how do we expand our turnout? How do we make sure our nonpartisan elections don't just have 8, 10, 12% turnout? How do we make sure our primaries have big turnout? How do we make sure that our off-year elections have presidential-level turnout? As a state of Wisconsin, we could be in the lead of the nation on making sure that voting is easy, functional, and frankly, fun. And I think that's something that we ought to be doing. It's something that the other countries Michelle talks about are doing. And the one thing I'll say is, she's right. Other countries do view voting as sacred and a blessing. They make it a holiday. If we made Election Day a holiday, that would be a good start.
All right. Well, Michelle, first little picture and then big picture.
Well, I want to thank John for just having this very polite conversation about such an important issue that I do think we need to be discussing. And if we want to start talking about expanding turnout, which I do think is important, especially in some of our spring elections when we have 8 and 12% of our voters turn out. I think we have to talk about educating our voters and why they need to pay attention to our spring elections and why they need to make that a priority to turn out on Election Day so that we do increase the number of voters in our state. Because, again, it is such an important opportunity that we have, you know, to choose our leaders in this country. So we are so fortunate to do so. I do think that we are going to be able to set some standards, again, that they're discussing in the Senate right now, that they're probably going to take back up in the Assembly this year. And if something does happen in the courts when it comes to, if they do strike down the voter ID bill that we did pass 2 years ago, I do think we're going to see that brought up in a special session, and that might be challenged. But, I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court has set a standard and a precedent, which hopefully they will continue to uphold.
Thank you both very much for being here. It's been a good debate. Michelle Litchens, former Republican state representative from Oshkosh, a small business owner and a regular on our Friday Week in Review, and John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times, Washington correspondent for The Nation, co-author of Dollarocracy. Well, you've heard from both of them. Now, what about you? Do you think that this effort to change election laws in Wisconsin is necessary or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Time now for Sound Off. During our big question on election laws, do you think that election law changes are necessary in Wisconsin or not? Like voter ID, do we need to show a photo before voting in Wisconsin? Do we need to restrict or limit early voting or in-person absentee voting? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. 30 seconds to state your case. John in Green Bay is first. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. This whole discussion really gets me going. You know, I teach at a technical college, and our students are working 30, 40 hours a week. They have three kids. They're in school full time. And I know for a fact there's some that cannot afford to go to a poll and not and have to stand in line for an hour, hour and a half, even though they're probably the ones that need to vote the most, because they're the ones that seem to be getting the shaft on so many things. And this just flies in the face of where our society is going.
Thank you very much, John. Next, we're going to go to Cole in Janesville. Hi, Cole.
Hi. One issue I don't think I heard any discussion on was how these new voter restriction proposals would impact homeless people who already struggle to get themselves back in the system, often don't have IDs, don't have addresses, and yet very well could be natural-born citizens. I don't see how this does anything to reintegrate homeless people and make it easier for them to be a part of our society.
Thank you very much, Cole. Zach in Janesville. Hi, Zach. What do you think?
I have to say that I do think that we should change our voting laws. I do agree with John. I think they should be a holiday because there's a lot of people that just don't have enough time to make it out to the polls. And if we're going to mess around with restricting other times and condensing them down into one day, we need to do something about that and make sure that people can actually make it out and vote.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, I guess we'll have to leave it there. You can continue voting online. We're out of time for this big question segment. Our poll is located on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and at WPR.org/joy. So far, people voting online, 84% say do not change election law in terms of voter ID or ending same-day registration or limiting in-person absentee voting. Thanks a lot to Bill Martins, Christy Taylor, and Robin Cherry for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.